Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Three books are written from this one verse, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The just is the book of Romans, shall live is the book of Galatians, by faith is the book of Hebrews. This truth in that one verse is amplified in three books.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
There may be some that don't know, but we're going through the book of Galatians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, word by word. And we're looking at justification by faith alone. Through the grace of God, that today we can be, as human beings, declared as righteous in the eyes of a holy God. We can be declared righteous. That is an amazing thing. But as Paul is pointing out, that it's possible to begin so well, but as we continue to walk, things get clouded. Traps are set for us, and we seem to fall in them, and he's encouraging us as we get there in Galatians chapter 3 this morning through some strong language to pay attention to what's going on in our lives. And so chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Galatians stress the certainty of salvation by grace alone. And he does it in a very, very powerful way. In these 14 verses we're going to get to, we're going to see four things basically emphasized that we need to take note of. The Holy Spirit, works of the law, faith or belief. We'll see faith or belief mentioned 10 times. In 14 verses, either the word faith or belief is going to be emphasized. So we know that's at the heart and we have to capture that. We're also going to see the word introduced twice here in chapter 3, justified, to be declared righteous. To be as if we have not sinned in the eyes of a holy God. It's an amazing truth, an amazing reality. And so there's this battle that Paul recognizes that's going on for the souls of people in two ways. First, will they give their heart to Jesus Christ? Or will they come under tradition and laws and the works of their flesh to try to be saved? Will they simply accept it by grace? Or will they try to work their way into heaven? And the second thing that he's addressing here, and I believe is just as powerful, but that once we are saved, as we've been studying in the last few weeks here, there can be a tendency in our lives to try to maintain our salvation by ordinances, by works, and by things that just cause us to be burdened down and trapped. Now, again, I'm going to say that it's important to realize that God has works for us, and we are to be people of good works, but we do it by the power of His Holy Spirit. As Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that God has preordained the works that we are to be involved in. It's no small thing that you're here today. You're being obedient to what God has called you to before the foundations of this earth were set in place. That's an amazing thing. God always knows everything. There's not a moment that He is surprised at all. He knows everything, and we can rest in that. He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you did before you got here. He knows what you're going to do after that. And you better be careful. Make sure you tip 20% when you go out, okay? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And so He knows everything. And so we can rest in that, but yet He is so powerful and He's so big that He hasn't taken away our freedom of choice. Now, how can that be? It's debated century after century after century after century. It's debated. To me, it's not a debate. God is God, and he can do anything that he wants. And within his sovereignty and within his power, he's given us a freedom of choice. And he recognizes that freedom of choice before even the foundation of earth were set in place. So he can preordain all things according to even the freedom of choice that he's given us. I mean, God is big. There's people that want to limit his power. But I believe that he's big and he's powerful. And so I'm going to show two verses here before we go back to Galatians chapter 3 that show you the contrast. Look at chapter 6, 1 Timothy verses 11 through 12. And we see one side of it here. Paul says there, but you, O man of God. He's speaking to Timothy, but he's speaking to us. Oh, you, O man of God. And may I add, you woman of God. Flee these things. Now, the things prior to that we see, you know, had to do with clothing, had to do with food, had to do with different things. Those that want to be rich, they fall into temptation. They go foolish ways, the harmful lust. There'll be drowned men in destruction and perdition. And we see all of those things there. But he comes, but you, O man of God, personally, flee these things. And so we are to flee these things. Notice it's an action word. That means we have a choice to either flee them or to embrace them. We want to flee. And notice he says, here comes another action word, pursue, pursue. It's a beautiful word. Think about your first puppy love. Can anybody think back that far? No? Most of you want to forget your first puppy love. Okay. All right. I get it. But you know, that love or whatever it is, you know, how you pursued it. You were so excited about it. We see these teenagers and all that, you know, and it's this first love that they have and all. And we're back there just praying with knowledge and understanding. This won't last. This won't last. But they're all wrapped up into it. And I understand. I've been there and done that. But that word pursue is a powerful word. We are to pursue, number one, righteousness. Righteousness. Every one of these things are found in Jesus, as far as we're concerned. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. So we are to pursue being right standing in the eyes of God because of the work of Jesus. Pursue it, study it, understand it, stand upon it, don't move from it. And we are to pursue godliness. There is no godliness in ourselves, is there? We know that. No godliness whatsoever. But we're to pursue this godliness that is found in Christ Jesus and that Christ lives inside of us. He's changing us into his image day by day, moment by moment. And that righteousness is becoming even more so as we're obedient to God, the thing that people see in our lives. Pursue, and here it comes, faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence of, no, faith is the substance of, no, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I really know that verse. You get up here and you just miss it sometimes. Faith. We are to pursue faith. Faith. Faith is under attack every single moment, is it not? You know, anxiousness comes into our life. Paul said in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. That is an amazing verse, as I've said before, an amazing verse. But that's the reality. We are to pursue faith. We can pursue to walk in faith. We can get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How do we grow in our faith? Get in the Word of God. And he challenges us. He moves us out. He speaks to us. Will we believe it? Do we see? Recognize we have a need. There's the scripture that meets that need. Will we apply it to our lives in faith and walk in the midst of it so that it changes the way that we think? It changes the way that we act. That's walking in faith. Look at the next one, love. It's not our love. It's Jesus' love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13. Pursue patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? You know what's going to happen after you do that, right? Trials. Guaranteed, because that's how it works. Long-suffering, patience. We are to be patient people. I don't know. I've walked with the Lord, and I remember when we had walked in the Lord, it was in that revival there in Southern California, and they were talking about Jesus coming at any moment, and I was excited about that, but here I am 40 years later. He has not returned yet. But have I lost my enthusiasm about it? I've embraced another doctrine that teaches me not to be looking for his return. That's a danger. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know, understand. I don't understand everything, but I'm looking for Jesus to come back today. Anybody else?
Amen.
I want to. Says there's a reward for doing that. It encourages my heart. Lord, you could be back today. You could be. And so we are to pursue love, it says right there. Pursue patience. Pursue gentleness. Gentleness. The gentleness of Christ. I found that Christ and the Holy Spirit and my Father are so gentle with me, so concerned about me, so kind with in my life and all. That's what I find about God. And then look at verse 12. Now, we're to pursue that. But he wants us to know we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight a spiritual fight, not a fleshly fight, not a religious fight, not a anything, but fight the good fight of what? Faith. Faith is powerful. He goes on, lay hold on eternal life. Mark that, underline that in your Bible. He's saying, I want you to lay hold of. In other words, it becomes your own. It becomes what drives you. There are so many young people. I look out and see young people here. And I can look back to my life and recognize when I was that young. I didn't know the Lord at that point for a lot of those that I'm looking at. And I wish I had. But then I accepted the Lord after that, so I was young in the Lord. But there's so much potential in the youth today. But there's a battle going on, a battle that's crazy. It's more intense than anything that I've seen as I was growing up. Do you guys agree with that? I mean, it's intense, trying to capture the heart and the souls of these young people. That's why we must fight the good fight of faith and set the example for them and encourage them, because there's warfare that's going on. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy, that's your witness. You've stood strong. You're fighting the fight of faith, and you're holding on to eternal life. And because you do that, your lifestyle, the words that you say, the teaching that you have, everything about you there is recognized. It's a witness of the good, what we see, the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. But let's look at a contrast that Paul addresses. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, please. Turn there. Verse 9. Well, let's start verse 8 so we get a context there. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who, verse 9, have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Notice, underline this, not according to our works. There's the contrast, the reality we talked about, fight the fight of faith, but we do not do it according to our works. And he goes on there, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? When was it given to us, according to the scripture? Before time began. Before this earth was created. It was given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. It was only 2,000 years ago. And if you believe in, as I do, 6,000 aged earth at this point, you know? Before that? You mean before that, Lord? Yeah, before that. God, as I said, knows all things. Go back to Galatians, please, chapter 3. And we'll just go through these 14 verses, and then we'll close in prayer. It's amazing. As I said, we'll look at the Holy Spirit. We'll look at works of the law. We'll look at faith or belief, and we'll look at justification. He starts out in verse 1. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Foolish Galatians, what's happened to you? When I came to you and taught, I taught about Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I didn't add anything to it. What has gone on? Why are these other things being added to it? They're added to it. This is how you become truly saved. See, if you speak in tongues, then you're truly saved. True or not? Are there denominations that believe that today? You bet, man. I don't find that in Scripture. I don't find it in Scripture, yet so subtle. Subtle. It seems, oh, if you speak in tongues, you know, and you're super spiritual. Now, I want to say I believe in all the gifts. That includes speaking in tongues. I do believe in him. But it has nothing to do with my salvation. And that people take it to that. If you are baptized, and I've used this one before, if you're baptized into this church, then you're saved. If you're not baptized into this church, then you're not saved. If you continue coming every Sunday morning and partake of communion, then you are saved. Are they true? No. It's by what? Faith. Grace given to each and every one of us. There's so many other examples that we can do. It's so subtle in our lives, and we do that, and we try. Are we to be people that are honoring to the Lord? Yes, we are. But they had begun so well. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Because before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Oh, foolish Galatians. Listen to what amplifies the word foolish. Oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians. Boy, I feel encouraged after that. The Greek word translated foolish refers to those who knew better, but failed to use what they knew. Wow. They knew better, but they failed to use what they knew. See, there's traps. All kinds of traps. It's interesting, that word bewitched. Who has fascinated or cast a spell over you? Who has hypnotized you, Paul's saying? Who has done that? And how have you allowed that in your life? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ crucified? The truth of the gospel, Paul is saying, has been presented to them very clearly and concisely. In other words, they were without excuse, but they are wandering. They've gone another direction. No doubt Paul's message was as clear to the Galatians as it was to the Romans in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, when he said, who, speaking of Jesus, was delivered up, he was crucified, because of our offenses, and was raised, in other words, resurrected, for our justification. Wow. You mean you would do that for us, Lord? Yeah. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who's cast a spell over you that you would not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified? You've turned away from that. You've added to it. This only, verse 2, I want to learn from you. I'm going to ask you a question, and that question could be applied to our lives today. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which one is it? How many would say by the works of the law? Nobody. Good, 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 good group. You're afraid to anyway. Okay, how many would say by the hearing of faith? Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Did you receive? Did you take hold of? Did you grasp? Did you seize? What? Notice what it says. Did you receive what or whom? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? God. God dwells inside of mankind. An amazing reality. His deity is also set forth in Scripture that he possesses divine attributes. In Psalm 139, we see that he is everywhere. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit is revealed as all-powerful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it is said of him that he has all knowledge. All knowledge. Just for a moment, and don't try to copy all these down. If you want them, write down your email address and I'll send them to you. But about the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. It'll be on the screen. Just watch this now. Number one, go ahead. He convicts men of the sin of unbelief. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts men that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. He convicts men that the power of Satan has been broken. He generates the believer. He indwells the believer. He seals the believer. He baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. He fills the believer. He empowers the believer. He leads the believer. This is the Holy Spirit in our life. He administers spiritual gifts to the believer. He creates, he renews, he anoints, he guides, he sanctifies, he bears witness, he helps the believer. He gives discernment. He is our teacher. Isn't that amazing? That's not everything. One time I just went from A to Z, 26 characters. And I went there and I said, I'm going to see 26 things that the Holy Spirit has done. I just talked about 20 of them. The other six, I'm not going to tell you. No. Isn't that amazing? This Wednesday night, we're just going to pause in our study of Genesis and like to invite everyone to come. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit once again. It's good to do that every once in a while. We're going to look at these, and you can get a copy of these. I'll have that for everybody then as you show up. And just talk about that, and then just pray for each other and ask Him just to empower us and to just bless us. How do we receive Him? Notice there in verse 2, by the hearing of faith. This again, Paul's ways of emphasizing the certainty of salvation by grace through faith alone. We receive the Holy Spirit simply by faith. He goes on and gets very specific. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Are you trying to become mature by the things of the flesh? So foolish, so senseless, and so silly is another way that, two ways it can be translated. Having begun in the Spirit, you began your new life in a spiritual sense with the Holy Spirit, but you've moved away. Paul's talking about walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, as you're walking hand in hand, you begin to release. And then all of a sudden, as you release, then you begin to move away and move away and move away. You're no longer walking with Him, depending upon Him. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you now reaching maturity by dependence on finishing in the flesh? NIV puts it this way. Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Can't do it. Salvation cannot do it for maintaining our walk day by day. Notice he goes on verse 4, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain? They had suffered, but are they all in vain? If indeed it was in vain. He's leaving out hope for them right now. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Look on the screen, you'll see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. We can see that we can move away from where we were. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, do not cast away your confidence. It tells us that we can do that if we're not careful. We get out of the Word, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Anybody say praise the Lord? And then he goes back to Habakkuk, and he says, now the just shall live by faith. And then he returns and he says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, destruction, but of those who believe, what to? The saving of the soul. Perseverance, endurance is part of our lives, that we're supposed to continue and we guard ourselves because there are traps, there are minefields. The enemy is very subtle. He's very strong. Remember Job? The question was from God, have you considered Job? And what was the answer from Lucifer? I have. I have. And I believe he's considered every one of us sitting in this room because we are his enemy. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? And that's true. And he'll do everything he can to get us off the straight and narrow. He'll throw religion. He'll throw works. He'll throw anything he can. He normally doesn't come up and just go, boo. He comes very subtly, but very powerfully. It's a dangerous thing. Verse 5, therefore he, God, who supplies the Spirit, who gives us the Spirit of God, God the Father, to you and works miracles among you. He does miracles among us. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How many say by the hearing of faith? Simply by faith. By faith. The disciples walked into the temple one day after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And there was a person. And he looked and they said, he asked the disciples, Peter and John, do you have anything for me? And he says, silver and gold, I don't have, but such as I have, this I'll give to you. And spoke the words of eternal life. Rise up and walk. Miracle that day, amen? It's the same for us. There's that hand that reaches out just grabbing a hold of that hand. He'll lift us out of the trials. He'll protect us in ways that only He can do that. Therefore, He who supplies God, the Spirit, to you and works miracles among you, does He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Supplies means to give, to endow, to impart. Very important we would understand. He goes on. It gets even better. I love this chapter. You guys bearing with me? So now he does, as a good teacher, he goes, okay, now I'm sharing these principles with you, but I want to share with you that it's not just me that are saying this. Let's go back to Scripture and inductively look at Scripture to back up what I am saying. So verse 6, he starts it. He goes, just as Abraham. He knew that Abraham was important to them, even if they were Gentiles, but Abraham was there. Notice Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You mean, God, you're telling me that simply by faith, then I can receive the righteousness of God? Absolutely. So you're telling me that Abraham did that? Yes, absolutely. Before he was even circumcised, because he simply believed in God. Believed in God. He adhered to, he trusted in, he relied upon. It was accredited to him. Right conduct was given to him. Righteousness is solely experienced because of God's sovereign act, his gracious and decisive intervention for man that is found in Christ Jesus. That's what we're looking at. Listen to this quote that I found concerning the righteousness of God that comes only through faith. The great central truth in all of this is that the righteousness of God is now on the side of men. I look at that and I say, whoopee, I'm on the right side. Why would I want to move away from that side? Because it's right there, a finished work. It's all done for us. We learn to walk in it. We learn to trust in it. You guys with me?
Amen.
Okay. It's amazing. It truly is. A renewed understanding of this truth sparked a reformation of unparalleled proportions. When Martin Luther grasped this concept that righteousness comes through faith alone, God in the Scriptures, which before were a source of fear and guilt, suddenly became a mighty fortress which guaranteed his salvation. His time of personal bondage gave way to liberty. Likewise, the same freedom comes to all who receive Paul's clear message concerning the righteousness which is from God through faith. The Reformation, we talk about that, we study that, you know. The dude went there and nailed, you know, 88 on there? How many was it? 95, okay. Well, I cut him short a little bit, but anyway. Radically changed him and radically changed others that would hear. It's not by works of the law. It's simply by faith. Look at verse 7. He goes, therefore, know, because of what I just told you, know that only those who are of faith, here it is, third time this is mentioned, of faith or by faith, are sons of Abraham. Are you of faith today?
Yeah.
We are sons, if I can say daughters of Abraham. Very important. And here it comes, verse 8, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would, there's this beautiful word, justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Why would they be blessed? How would they be blessed? Simply by faith. Justified, to render innocent. Justified, to pronounce righteous. Justified, to acquit. Justified, just as if I had not sinned. Wonderful, isn't it? We don't have to work for that. And then verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. He just did the most amazing thing. He went back to the Old Testament and brought it into the New Testament. And we can see that simply, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Physical ancestry from the line of Abraham means nothing spiritually. But by the Holy Spirit working through the Word, to believe as Abraham did is all important for salvation. And then in verse 10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the, what's it say? Curse. You want to try to be saved by the works of the law? Have at it. But you're going to be under the curse. If you want to maintain your salvation after you are saved by the works of the law, have at it. But you're going to be under the curse. Why? He goes on to explain, for it is written, cursed is everyone. He goes back to Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in, what's the next word? All. So you think that you can have power in this one area, and you might be able to do that. Ten Commandments said, do not murder. I've not murdered anybody. So God, I'm good enough to get into heaven. No. But have you sold something? Have you lied? You know, Jesus took it to another level. If you have anger in your heart towards anybody, anybody here ever had anger to somebody, to against somebody? He takes it to another level there and says, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life found in Christ Jesus. Notice, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you want to try to do it, go ahead and do it. Have fun. If a person tried to become right standing in the eyes of God through fulfillment of the law, it would in fact bring an eternal damnation upon them if they did not fulfill every requirement of the law. So why go there? Why not go to grace alone? Faith through faith. Look at verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Come on, guys, join with me. It's what Paul's saying to them. It's just evident. Just, you know, stop what you're doing. It's so easy to see. And then he goes to back to Habakkuk, where it says, for the just shall live by faith. Three books are written about from this one verse. Habakkuk, we see it there. Chapter 2, verse 4. The just is the book of Romans. Shall live is the book of Galatians. By faith is the book of Hebrews. This truth in that one verse is amplified in three books. And notice verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That is an amazing thing. He became a curse for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I find that to be amazing. Do we really appreciate what Jesus did for each and every one of us? Jesus became a curse for us in our place. Isn't that amazing? I know that we believe this. I know that we stand upon it. But sometimes I find, at least in my life, Lord, I don't appreciate it as much as I should. Isn't it wonderful? And he ends here with these, verse 14 will end here, and he says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through works. What's it say? Faith. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it freeing? Oh, come on. It is, isn't it? It's freeing. Look on the screen, you'll see Acts chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 8. And being assembled together with them, the promise of the Spirit is the emphasis here. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is a stronger witness? Now, you got to follow Jesus by doing this, this, this. You've got to dress a certain way. You've got to belong to a certain church. You have to eat a certain way. You have to do all of these things. Or simply, we can come by the grace of God and be obedient to what he has for us, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we know. Now, we're going to end today, okay? You guys ready to end? You're so sweet. You really are. Get your pen and pencils out. I got a homework assignment for you. Come on. Anybody need a pen? Come on. Everybody. Bill, you got a pen? Okay. Anybody need a pen? You guys ready? Is it dark in here or is it just me going blind? It's dark. Dark. Too dark. Anybody need a pen? That's okay, Ed. You don't have to change it. We're almost over. Write this down. You'll see it on the screen here. I'm not going to go back because it'll take a little while to do it. But today, or this week, would you do me a favor? In light of these 14 verses, go to Romans chapter 4 and look at three things. The chapter is broken down into three areas, and I guarantee you it'll be a blessing. The first area is justification is not by works. Paul does a master job on that in verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And so what you're going to look at solely, justification is not by works. We're not declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God by works. Number two, justification is not by ordinances. It's on the screen there too. Justification is not by ordinances. Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. So just after you do verses 1 through 8, then look at justification is not by ordinances. There's no ordinances. There's no creeds. There's nothing that we can stand upon that's going to get us there. And then lastly, continue on in your study, justification is not by obedience to the law. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. You maybe have read that before, but in light of chapter 3, look at those three areas. Justification is not by works. Justification is not by ordinances. Justification is not by obedience to the Lord, or to the law. And I go, praise the Lord. Amen? God is good. He really is good. So the worship team is going to come, and let's stand and let's just pray. And we'll close with a couple announcements. Is God good? He's truly good. He really is. Father, once again, we thank you for the goodness and the truth of your message. Lord, take it deep into our hearts. Set us free. As we just worship you in song right now, Lord, if there's anything that is holding us back from receiving you for eternal life or from maintaining our walk in you by doing any form of work. I just pray, Lord, that you would set us free. You would speak to us. Not that we would take advantage of anything, but that we would just walk into the fullness that you have for us through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.